Is this supposed to be in this particular posture?
You might try.
Okay. It's working fine. I doubt I need it. Bill, beware that pork tartare. I have a feeling the Russians may be doing more to you than giving you bad pork. If I were they, I certainly would. you must be quite a problem to them. I do not... I myself, as it happens, have never, out of a combination of fear and principle, submitted myself to a communist political jurisdiction, even temporarily. I did fly over East Germany to get to West Berlin. I wouldn't visit East Berlin. I have finally made up my mind, after considering it carefully, that in January, when I hope to be in Hong Kong, I will go to Macau, even though the hovercraft does cross briefly through Chinese red territorial waters. But that, by analogy to my flight into West Berlin. In June, I was traveling about Europe in preparation for this talk. Believe that, you'll believe anything. And I had gone through England and into Italy, but then I was felled in Milan by hepatitis. And accordingly, I'm not really well qualified to discuss your subject, although I can tell you a hell of a lot about hepatitis. This is going to limit to some extent my expertise. For instance, I can't even discuss the recent developments in Bordeaux because for 6 months after you get out of the hospital, they won't let you drink alcohol after hepatitis. So, and the South won't rise again until the 17th of January, by which time I'll be in Bangkok and they don't have any wine over there worth drinking anyway. So we will have to do the best we can. Mayor Gibson of Newark once remarked that wherever the cities of America are going, Newark is going to get there first. In the same sense, wherever the countries of Western Europe are going, Italy is going to get there first. With England perhaps not far behind, although I understand from recent visitors to France that France is coming up fast on the inside there. There is awfully little that I need to say to you about the origins of the dilemma that they're in. They are victims of that wonderful logical razor of Emerson's. What wilt thou have, saith the Lord, take it and pay for it. Ever since the Second World War, they have been voting themselves benefits, and the consequences are now at last fast approaching. As usual, the United States has a share of the responsibility even for their mistakes. It was the bright idea of the late Alan Dulles, and the worst idea that able and dedicated man ever had, that the right thing to do in order to fight communism in Europe was to back heavily, with money and support of all types, the non-communist left, socialists, social democrats, and so on. The United States followed this policy from the end of the Second World War, roughly, or shortly thereafter, when it was first adopted, straight through the 1950s and 60s, with what Mr. Dulles thought was considerable success. Because in Italy, we managed to keep the communists out of office by keeping the Christian Democrats and the socialists in coalition in office. Similarly, with almost every other country of Europe, where we were faced with the really obstreperous right-wing authoritarian regimes, as in Portugal, we dealt with them because we had to, but we didn't like it. It was clearly understood by all concerned that the absolute ideal of the United States of America was a group of European states presided over by their respective Adlai Stevensons. And as I say, the consequences of that major, major catastrophe, a decision reached, I guess, in Washington, D.C., are the principal thing wrong with Europe today. I might add that they had a tremendous amount to do with what is wrong with the United States today, because at least during the 1950s, to my personal knowledge, the NSA was the chosen instrument of the CIA, not only in Europe, but collaterally and necessarily in the United States as well. While the young Republicans, let alone the young Democrats, were over here doing their best to survive. I should put that the other way around. The young Democrats, let alone the young Republicans, were doing their best to survive. My God, we used to have special fundraising efforts to get people to young Republican meetings in Omaha. At a time when the NSA was maintaining, I believe, two or more permanent offices in Europe to run the gravy trains for left-wing students back and forth from the United States. Financed, covertly, of course, by the American taxpayer, with the result that all through the 1950s, the left-wing student movement in the United States had resources simply unavailable to the right or even to the center, with results that are now beginning to manifest themselves in our senior politics. Well, that's all past, and there is nothing we can do about it except regret it. And note it, because I think it is not widely noted or remarked, although I have tried to mention it and did shoehorn it briefly into a debate on the David Susskind show and the CIA's activities recently that I was in. The present crisis in Europe is... I concur in Bill's estimate, approaching now the catastrophic. It has reached the catastrophic in Portugal. Don't let anybody fool you about the potential of that regime. All of the information I can get, and some of it is very good indeed, indicates that the communists are in fact controlling the situation there and are slowly going to proceed to take it over. Don't be deceived either, although we can temporarily rejoice by the success we have achieved, if that is the word for it, in Greece. Karamanlis is undoubtedly the best thing for NATO that could have come out of the Greek situation, but I assume and hope that he will get substantial financial aid from the United States in maintaining himself in Greece. But he, too, has had to make the very compromises on the economic side, the very promises on the economic side, which ensure the ultimate collapse of the Greek democratic experiment. And the same is true in varying degrees of every other country that we have as our ally in Europe, save possibly West Germany. In Italy, I felt very much this last time, although it may have been the onset of hepatitis, that this was a farewell visit of mine. The service economy is collapsing very fast in Italy, and it's interesting to watch its analogies to here. The mail service in Italy is erratic to the point of non-existence, and as it is becoming here as well. A friend of mine in Rome has virtually abandoned trying to communicate with me by mail, and now when he simply has to know something, phones. It's the only way left to get word out of Italy with any dependability at all. And almost every other aspect of the economy is being hit by these strikes, which the communists know so well how to orchestrate. Small ones first in this industry and that service, followed by the more pressureful one, leading up eventually to the general strike. But also the communists, and this is a thing I want particularly to call your attention to, because it is very much part of their strategy in Europe today, and affects, of course, directly the military potential of Europe. The communists are very crafty about offering to behave. In Italy, there is a straight blackmail operation going on, and immensely successful. There appears to many intelligent Italians to be no way out of their present series of disastrous death of the small cut strikes, except by bringing the communists into the government, to be sure in unimportant ministries at first, but getting them inside. I wish I had brought from the office the letter that I received from this Italian friend of mine in Rome, who is a devoted friend of the United States and a thoroughly anti-communist, middle-class Italian, but he thinks that Italy should bring the communists into a coalition. He said, after all, Bill, your Secretary Kissinger has demonstrated
how possible it is to work in detente with the Russians, why should we in our internal Italian situation not be able to do the same thing with our communists? One sidebar on detente, perhaps, that doesn't get noticed then, is how it leads the friends of the United States to think that this kind of thing is okay. Once the Italian communists get in, even to the minor ministries, of course, they will never get out again. They will march forward slowly toward the takeover of the society. In Portugal today, much further down the road, they are also behaving. They are the ones, very frequently, who cool the disturbances. It isn't in their interest to frighten the Portuguese, who in their great majorities are still anti-communist or non-communist, and want to be a part of the West, by demonstrating their muscle or cracking down now too hard. And accordingly, they are, in certain respects, a force for stability, although again, from time to time, of course, they lash out against people who show signs of a serious political opposition to communism. In Britain, it isn't a question so much of the communists, although the communists also back the tactic, as it is a question of the powerful unions, who are doing exactly the same thing. What is the social compact, such as it is, except a promise by the unions of England to lay off, to some degree, if only the people of Britain will elect the Labour Party rather than the Conservative Party, a form, again, of blackmail. And a very successful one. British, although got a very minor margin, small margin, did precisely what the unions wanted them to do, and of course they will now pay the consequences, because according to as late as this morning's paper, there is not social compact. In point of fact, the unions are warming up to the strongest demands yet. I'm scared to death of Bill's gavel, and I'm hurrying ahead here a little bit. My own guess is that catastrophe is simply not avoidable any longer as far as Western Europe is concerned, first economically, then politically, and therefore ultimately militarily as well. The peoples of the Western world, at any rate, are simply not capable, in my opinion, of, including the United States, of exerting the kind of effort or sustaining the kind of strains or suffering or want, hardship, that would be necessary to dig themselves out of the hole into which they have so diligently dug themselves with our help, our leadership, and our money over the last quarter of a century. And accordingly, they are going to go the rest of the way. Right at the moment, they are using the loan technique, and don't sneeze at it. You'll notice that the Italians managed to get a very substantial loan from the West Germans, who still have some money to loan. The English... I will never get over this. If I live to be 100, go out of my mind. The English borrowed a substantial amount from the Shah of Iran. Shows you how things have changed since my school days. And where else is the money coming from? Well, the West Germans probably still have some more that can be talked about. The United States, in spite of all heavy demands upon us domestically, will undoubtedly shell out still more. The Arabs are a very interesting possible source of sustenance for Western Europe. They have plenty of money to loan, but of course there is a little price tag attached to the Arab money, and I was fascinated at the vote yesterday in the United Nations on the Palestine resolution and giving the PLO permanent observer status. The day before yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, there were very substantial rumors that a good many of the biggest nations of Western Europe, Britain, France, Germany, Italy, were going to support the United States in the U.S. General Assembly in opposing the Palestine resolution. So that the implication was it would be about 8 or 9 really substantial states, even though the resolution was expected to win overwhelmingly. Instead of which, the United States, Bolivia, Costa Rica, and a couple of other brave entities opposed it, and Britain, France, Italy, West Germany, and everybody else you can name in Western Europe abstained, which indicates sufficiently that they know which side their bread is buttered on in that particular respect, and unquestionably it is on the Arab side. If this makes you gloomy, there isn't a great deal I can do about it. I've been giving talks not on Western Europe so much as on the United States, but equally gloomy recently, and I've decided, by the way, I warn you all of this, after years of being too diffident to talk on economic subjects, I've decided I know all about economics. I can tell everybody all there is to know about it in 5 minutes, and I've been doing so. And the Society of Financial Analysts of Houston staggered ashen-faced out into the Texas sunshine. And the Association of Commerce and Industry of New Mexico will never invite me back again, I promise you that. Not if they want to be encouraged at any rate. But they very frequently in the question period, they say, well, what's your solution? To which I have a ready answer. Yeah, the story is your mother used to tell you, always used to have happy endings. Mine don't. But then again, I'm not your mother. We are going to get, ladies and gentlemen, if nothing else, one big, fat, thwacking, I told you so out of this. We've got everybody good and scared. Maybe something can be done. Maybe. I'm certainly, incidentally, just to reach ahead a moment, going to try, politically, unveil a little plan of mine you'll all be hearing and reading about it early in the new year, but in the longer run, no. I think that mass franchise Western democracies of the Atlantic variety, having been tried in the 20th century, have demonstrably established now that they cannot resist, they cannot exercise the self-discipline to survive. And quite frankly, in the long run, the highest hope I have is that since this fall will be much better studied, watched, understood, videotaped, and recorded than that of Rome, it may do the people of the 21st and 22nd centuries some good.